He is Robin Leach. He is Jada Markin. This is Car Keys.
It is, and Jay is going to start the show.
Well, I've had a busy week driving. Did a lot of driving last week. Different cars, different destinations, and a few experiences that I think are worth talking about. Went into the city once, almost knocked a bicycle over. My bad for not paying attention to bicycles that are not always following the rules of the road, but also not understanding or paying attention to what is often new rules on the streets of New York City, with bike paths that are both on the left and right side of all the one-way streets. And you do have to be careful when you're making a turn, because the bicycles do have the right-of-way. So I almost clipped one cyclist, felt very badly about it. Have to be careful. And that's, I guess, the first safety tip of the day. Also went down to central and southern New Jersey. Had the opportunity to do a lot of driving on New Jersey roads. And they have both divided and undivided four-lane highways with what is, you know, interesting on and off ramps and ways of getting on and off four-lane roads. And for those of us who are not from New Jersey, it takes a little time getting used to how they operate, but it's pretty efficient. And lastly, over the weekend, I had to go and drive into the Hamptons a couple times, and it makes me realize why. And again, not to bring up a subject that we've beaten time and time again, but when you are in the Hamptons and driving miles and miles at a time at 5 or 10 miles an hour, you kind of wish you had an autopilot on the car that you're driving, and unfortunately I did not. And we should also be happy to navigate roads that we navigate up here in the tri-state area, where we don't have to deal with this crazy traffic that you find both in, you know, in the city, in New Jersey, in the Hamptons, on the LIE. I guess that's what makes our tri-state area fun and pleasant too.
It also is what I think makes people, when they're up here from, go, oh, wow, I can drive fast, and then they do. Just a quick bike. I understand that you are not allowed to knock people over and you should pay attention and so forth. There was an e-bike cluster, though, and I'm just curious.
Actually, while I was down in New Jersey, I got to, and this is a separate thing, but this is all happened last week, I got to ride an e-bike, and it was a Hyper Scorpion Juice Bikes. And it's basically more of a moped bicycle than what we think of as a bicycle with a battery. And there are different classes of e-bikes, and you have the Class 1s, Class 2, Class 3s, different rules in different states. It seems to be that in Connecticut you need to have a driver's license and be 16 or older to ride any kind of e-bike. Mostly, the different classifications depend on how fast you can and how much you have to pedal to keep the bike on the e-charge. So if the bike can ride on e-power alone without any input, muscular input, it's a certain class. And there are different rules and in different states, and I would suggest that if you are going to get on an e-bike, you make sure that it, you know, you meet all the legal requirements. And
I'd
it's
like
a little bit
in.
Like when we discussed this with Robin with the scooters. And I think the rules are somewhat similar. So no registration needed, but you do need a driver's license.
Okay, and I want to jump in on the safety issue down in New York City, where the bicycle lanes are in both sides of a single line road.
Yep.
Jay, you said bicycles have the right of way. In those lanes, or even if they wobble out of those lanes?
Well, they have to be in those lanes, and we both know they wobble quite a bit. The hard part is that you also have all the vehicles and delivery trucks that are stopped in a double file on both sides of the street. So Oftentimes those e-bikes have no choice but to go around those stopped vehicles.
Well, just like the cars.
And it just makes it a bit of a zoo.
Yeah.
There are lights dedicated to those lanes. And yes, oftentimes the bikes don't really stop. And we encounter that all the time, of course, where bicyclists, when you're waiting in line at a stop sign, they'll come all the way up
right
the side and then start. And they do that in the city and everywhere. But you still have, it's still a moral responsibility, if you will, to be fully aware of that.
And, pay attention.
Yeah. But back to the e-bike.
Yeah, back to the e-bikes. Question on the
30 miles an hour, and a friend and I went for breakfast, and I think we rode probably 5 or 10 miles each way, and it was, it was a pretty quick trip. Might have made it in just a few more minutes than we would have made it in the car, and got some exercise out of it. So,
well,
it's an interesting concept. Sure.
Okay, to your classifications, you said full e-bikes, do they not have pedals because they're full e-bikes?
No, they do have pedals. They're a little the bike I was riding, this Hyper Scorpion, which retails, I think, for $2,600 or $3,000, looked very much like a moped. So it had pedals like mopeds used to have. It had mirrors, which were really practical and really good mirrors. I could really see the traffic in both the mirrors. And it had turn signals, a horn, and a very powerful headlight. So it was more of a moped, an electric moped, where you actually pedal.
But you are used to moped. The reason I'm asking literally is there were about 11. There was a group of e-bike riders that had essentially taken over the road. I mean, it was single file wasn't. They had taken over both lanes of a country road.
Single file or double file?
No, across. They had both lanes. And so I just wondered what it was obviously a group. They were obviously together. And they were,
I don't know if they have to. I would assimilate them more to cyclists. And I think cyclists are allowed to and even encouraged to ride in packs, right? There's two ways of looking at it. If you're riding single line, the line can go on for, if you have, vehicles, whether they're bikes or e-bikes, a dozen vehicles will be a long stretch of bikes. If they're all packed together, you might have to wait a little bit, but once you pass them, you can pass them all at once, driving a car.
But, you may have to cross a single yellow line, too, in the town roads.
And again, that's totally illegal.
On the highways,
I encourage people to do that every time.
Yeah, I do too. I have encountered those packs via whatever bikes they've been riding, and when there are generally, let's say, four or more, maybe even three or more riders, there seems to be, if nothing else, for the ability to chatter as they're riding to their person on either side of them, that kind of a desire to ride that way as opposed to stay in single file. And also, in Jay, I would presume that in a pack of 12, 10, or even, multiple numbers, there's going to be an inevitable situation of somebody getting tired in the middle and somebody wanting to pass them in the back, and therefore they're going to go out and go around too. So this bicycle thing, I mean, they are out. They're all over the place. They're out in Fairfield County on the town roads of New Canaan and Greenwich and Darien, and there are a lot, and those roads are mostly single file, single lane byway roadways, and lots of turns, and as on the corners, the visibility of seeing them beforehand, the good ones have very bright blinking lights on the rear and white bright lights on the front, and so that's the first thing that catches your eye if you're coming around a corner behind a bicyclist that you're going to run into, not run into, but come upon. So you have to make a passing maneuver. Go to the scooter situation, which I have obtained over in Massachusetts. The scooter regulation for my scooter, which is theoretically limited by production to 30 miles an hour, as Jay mentioned, the e-bikes were doing, but can go faster. I need a registration, but I don't need a driver's license. I need to wear a helmet and goggles, but I don't need a driver's license. Any scooter that or motorbike of above scooter, my scooter, for example, has a horsepower rating of, I think it's 1 for the motor. Single piston, very high-pitched whine. I don't know if it's annoying or not as I go through neighborhoods, but it will go 40 quite easily now. It's broken in, but I do not need a license. I'm not sure whether the Connecticut regulation is the same. We've got some scooters running around our northwest broadcast corner, and I noticed that they do have plates on the back, and I'm not sure whether they are theoretically speed limited to 30 or so, but the riders are riding as if they were in bike lanes, although the bike lanes aren't here in our roadways. So I presume they're scooters as opposed to motorcycles. When you do have to have a motorcycle license.
Yeah, so the bottom line, I think the scooters and e-bikes have very similar rules. They do vary from state to state, and there's a gray area for sure, and I'm sure not all of the rules are enforced. But, you know, I would
Were you given a set of regulations when you got on your e-bike down in New Jersey? What New Jersey regulations were for them, or did somebody?
No, the friend I was staying with just said, yeah, we're good. I said, okay, we're good, let's go.
That's about like it is, I think, down at Cornwall, though I have not stopped in at the Cornwall e-bike rental place. But to your point about licenses or not, if you're a family and get on the e-bike class that you were on somewhere, and you have children under the age of 16 or whatever we have to have a driver's license for, and they were to get on the bikes, do you have any clue whether that licensing goes for everybody who rides that class of e-bike or not?
No, I don't know.
Okay. On to another subject, Jay. You've got one?
Yep. So another food for thought this after driving this week. My trips down to New Jersey were done in my Volkswagen Touareg, which is a diesel, and I went to the Hamptons in an Audi Q7 gas-powered. So basically the same vehicles, they're built on the same chassis, pretty much the same performance. I was actually a little disappointed by the gas-powered V6 in the Q7. But my fuel consumption was, I got 32 miles to the gallon with my Volkswagen and only 22 miles per gallon with the Q7. Same vehicle, same type of heavily trafficked, heavy traffic on the roads, same speeds, highway speeds, crawling speeds in traffic. It's a huge difference. And yes, the premium gas price is, between $3.50 and $4 a gallon now. And
diesel's so up there, too, in a lot of places, right? But lower.
What's that?
Diesel fuel is up there.
Yeah,
in some
diesel
states,
fuel is between $3.00 and $3.30, a lot of $3.17, $3.19, $3.25. So premium gas is more expensive than diesel. And I know we're never going back to diesel, but in a lot of ways, it's just a shame. That's all I have to say on the subject.
Okay, good. We're not quite at the safety time, but I will jump in with some of the stuff that you were talking about in terms of, I'm going to bring in the rainy weather conditions because I experienced it in spades or in pouring conditions on my drive up from Fairfield County this morning, had to have your windshield wipers on very high, and you had to know that your tires were in good tread condition, which brings me to the point of listeners: do you know what your tires are like before you get in your car and drive? Because this is the kind of condition in which you need good wiper blades that don't streak and actually clear the wiper as quickly as they can between wipes on a high-speed mode, which was necessary several times. And you need to have, for true safety of continuing along at the speeds everybody was going, which is 55 miles an hour or more on 22, and 65 miles an hour or 60 miles an hour or more on 684, you do not want to have tires that do not have good treads, or you should slow down. So all I'm going to say about it, you aquaplane on water when you hit puddles, and the roads were sheet rain covered in many places in the with the surge rain, I'll call it, that I experienced off and on during my way up this morning.
Well, a lot of people actually experience some worse on highways where but drainage is dubious in a lot of places. And
well, drainage is dubious because of the level or the slope of the roadways, clearing the water off as it flows. But if it's mostly flat, as a lot of them are, on the road, the rain does not go left or right necessarily. It just puddles up.
Right.
But it's more a question of whether the tires have a deep enough tread to sort of dispel the water underneath them to stay in contact with the asphalt below or not. That's my point with tire condition.
And are you? Did you find, just this is a curiosity out there, that people adjusted to the rain?
Not really. I was in a traffic line of a mixture of tractor-trailer trucks, and they were. I had one behind me and one in front of me, and both of us were controlled, fortunately, by the one in front of us who was doing a more reliable speed or more responsible speed in the heavy rain downpour than the one behind me was, because he was right on my tail. But no, nobody really slowed down. It could have been a 10 or 15 mile slowdown advice situation.
Yeah, I'm just what I have noticed again is that once people are in their cars, they don't really pay, and I have no idea what to hang this up to, but they don't really pay that much attention to what's going on outside.
That is true.
In some of the European countries, they have, like in France, they have the speed limit changes as soon as it starts raining.
Right.
The speed limit on highways drops from 130 k's to 110.
And those are electronic signs, right?
No, it's just you have to know that. In Germany, they use electronic signs where they really adapt the speed on the highways to whatever the road conditions are.
Well, they have electronic speed signs as opposed to us, which has just painted speed signs that stay fixed no matter what, unless there's a minimum speed along with a maximum speed as they are in some of the interstates. I want to go to a coming vehicle attraction.
Okay.
From two points of view. The Jeep Grand Cherokee L, which both Jay and I have discussed, is in production. It's the first Jeep three-row vehicle, but it's an exciting vehicle. I think both Jay and I thought it was pretty exciting when we read the specs on it. I think it's going to be very popular. They are producing it on three shifts. They have no chip shortage, apparently, at the moment.
In a new plant.
It's going to be shipped to dealers within probably 30 days, and it'll be an exciting situation. But to the chip situation, which is still at epidemic levels for some people, I think Jeep probably basically just stopped production of the Cherokee and a couple other vehicles so they could get the chips all to this one-row vehicle, this new vehicle, which is going to, I think, be a very successful vehicle for Jeep. And that's that on the Jeep situation. Although, the article in which I read this said that the Wrangler E, which is a plug-in hybrid version with a gasoline engine also, demand is outstripping supply, which just boggles my mind. But I think it's a good idea, depending on what the supply is.
Well, I'm just curious. This is rather random, but weren't cars electric when they started?
Long, long time ago, there were electric vehicles. Yes.
And so, not.
But certainly didn't drive as far as we do today between charging up electric vehicles. I do not know how they charged them back in those days.
But I'm just curious: did the technology change, or did it just become more about? Oh, it's.
I don't think I know, and I don't think it's in 2021 worth wondering. Question any further.
Speaking of charging stations, I was at the JFK Travel Plaza in the center where all the
Oh, yes, you mentioned this.
And over the weekend. And there were three or four Teslas waiting to get their shot at a Tesla charging station.
In which there were not enough chargers, right?
And one guy was rolling his eyes. So I think that as much as Tesla has done for their in developing their network, there is going to be a problem in the foreseeable future. As we
Do you know how many Tesla chargers there were at that place?
I think there were four or five, so not very many.
But and, there were more two of waiting them were for chargers than they were able to get hooked up at the same time, right?
Yeah. Two of them were taken by yellow cabs, which I have not seen. That was the first time I saw. First of all, I didn't even know we still had yellow cabs, but I guess there are still a few running, and they're now running Teslas. Model 3s.
So they were complete plug-ins. My question is,
yeah.
How long does it take? And B, what happens if you run out of charge? Do you not run out of charge before you get to the charger, or is that one of those?
No, I don't think you do, because we talked about this a little bit last week when I suggested that there was a AAA service thing that tried to start a mobile charging truck, and they took it off the market because there wasn't enough demand. You know, the Teslas, as Jay will confirm, come with complete location, updated as needed, locations for charging stations. And the article I read said that most people who are running full electric cars are very aware all the time. If they're not aware of what they're doing driving, they certainly are mentioned as being aware of what their charge capacity is on their car. And I don't think Jay will disagree with me with that.
I don't think
you're going to see a lot of dead electric cars on the side of the road. If they are, that article about the AAA experiences was very premature.
I did see a Tesla on the side of the road this past week, and it didn't seem to be a flat tire. But you know, who knows? Maybe
I would just weighing in here. I would go with the portable. I would put those trucks back on the road pronto. Is what I would, but that's again. I'm not
as concerned as you, and there are a lot of people who won't buy an electric car. Okay?
Well, I think that would.
There are a lot of people that are concerned. I interviewed.
No,
people.
I well,
and
as
they are concerned, but they're not ready to go electric yet.
But if the technology, again, you shut me down the first time. My theory is that the technology is far more advanced than we have been led to believe, and if that weren't an issue, great. And I think that people would run, not walk.
You asked about how much of a charger needed to go the next 80 miles. I don't think a supercharger very much time is. I think 10 or 15 minutes will get you 80 miles, but it won't get you 300.
Right, but 10 or
15 minutes. For taxi cabs, I mean, that's plenty.
Yeah, but 10 or 15 minutes, it's going to... Sorry, from a practicality...
Jill, let's stop it, okay?
I think a lot of charging... I mean, I don't know the numbers, but the... The focus of the European manufacturers, I know, is like the Volkswagen Group, is to have a 60% recharge in the minimum of time, and they're trying to bring that time down. I think now, I'm not 100% sure of this, but I think the order of magnitude is that you can recharge 60% of the battery in like 30 minutes. But you know, waiting 30 minutes at a charging station, it can seem like a heck of a long time, as opposed to 3 minutes for the guy in front pumping gas.
And before Robin shut me down, that's exactly what I was going to say. You know, if somebody is congenitally late, I don't know anybody like that.
Well,
it's like having to factor in a 25-minute stop is going to be.
A taxi recharge is not needed. Does not need as much of a charge as a traveling salesperson does. Because you're driving, you know, 10 miles or 5 miles or 10 miles per pickup, and you can certainly deal with it in 10 or 15 minutes, I think, on a Tesla supercharger. I don't know what the other charging stations will do for the other electric cars that are coming on the train.
All right, who wants the last minute?
I have one safety tip I'd like to get in before we get cut off. I have been watching people trying to get on crowded parkways from service stations. And I have seen a line of cars behind the lead person who is too timid to make that jump, as Jay suggested last week. You step on it, but you've got to sit there, stay off your phone, keep your eye on the spaces that are coming at you in the lane you want to get into. And when you you've got to get out of there because there were six cars in line, and they weren't going anywhere in the 30 seconds it took me going by the place on the Merritt Parkway over the weekend. That's it.
Yeah, the Merritt Parkway is you see that all the time. I think you just have to stop early, look, hammer the accelerator, and your speed should be matching the speed of the traffic you're trying to merge with. It's as simple as that.
But you've got to make that first jump. And if somebody's timid and they can't figure it out, they can get a backup behind them, which could last a few minutes.
There you go, then. He is Robin Leach. He is Jay DeMarkin. This is Car Keys.